Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me. I'll make you fishers of men." And they abandoned their nets and followed Jesus. He walked along a little farther and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then Jesus called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated.
It's nice having a servant.
Were the roads okay where you came from? Yeah, it wasn't bad coming from Hillsboro. It was pretty good. Very glad that you're all here today. And I have this sermon for you. You know, the Pope has given instruction to the priests about three things on preaching. It must help you in your daily life. It must not be sophisticated. It should be simple. And the sermon should not go over 8 minutes. 2 out of 3 ain't bad for me, you know. 8 minutes, forget it. There is a television series on Netflix called Beef. Has anyone ever seen it, heard of it? You have. See, do you watch that, huh? So you'll hopefully, what I say then, you'll corroborate. I hope I get this right. Well, anyways, I saw the last show on Beef. Now, this show, Beef, is winning all types of awards. You know, I think they were at the Emmys, they got one, and the Golden Globes. So this show is very hot and popular right now. And it is described as an existential thriller. There's two strangers, one named Danny and one named Amy. And they're played by Steven Yeun and Ali Wong. I never heard of them before, but they're up-and-coming stars, you know. So these two devise various schemes to seek revenge on each other after a car accident in front of a store parking lot. And their feud becomes a road rage on steroids. And it changes their lives forever. It culminates in a car chase where both of them drive off a cliff. They are alive, but they have no way to contact anyone, no phone cell service. And so Amy forces Danny at gunpoint to forage for food, which leads them to eat poisonous berries. You remember that part? Okay. Doesn't this sound like a soap opera? Okay, so they eat these poisonous berries, believing they are dying. They share with each other about the pain in their lives. Danny is a failing contractor. And the accident that sparked the feud itself occurred in the parking lot of Amy's failed business that she was going to sell. They walked back together to the city, and Danny was admitted into the hospital where he falls into a coma. Amy hugs him passionately. And when Danny awakes, he returns the embrace. Does that sound pretty good? A little synopsis. So anyways, that's Beef. Now, there is a scene in this show where Amy asked her therapist a question. And it revealed to me, when I heard this question, and like lights went off, bells were ringing. It revealed to me the essence of God's good news that we hear today. The good news. Amy asked the therapist, "Do you think love can really be unconditional? You know, there must be some point where we all fall outside the reach of love. Like the mistake is so big, and then the love has to stop." When I heard those questions, I got all excited. I had at that moment a revelation, and bells went off, and lights were flashing, and I was sober. I got all excited. In fact, I yelled out to my three cats who were sleeping on my lap. One sleeps on my foot, one keeps this leg warm, the other keeps this leg warm. And they have their own position, and they're sleeping on my lap. And I yelled out, no one falls outside the reach of God's love. That's the good news. Nobody falls outside where he can't grab you. He will. And Jesus proclaims that that God's love never stops. It never stops. He keeps reaching and loving. His love never stops. And that's what came to my mind immediately. Your biggest sin, your worst mistake, cannot keep God from loving you. And that's what unconditional love means. It's right there. His reach of love is always there. And when you run away from God and you decide to turn back to him, guess what? He's going to be right in front of your face. That's called The Hound of Heaven, that poem. I forget who wrote it. But it was the hound, like a hound dog going after a raccoon. You know, and God's like the hound dog, and he keeps going after you. And when you finally wise up and you turn back to him, you'll see him face to face. He always runs after you. He'll never leave you alone. I remember the words of actor Martin Sheen. You know who Martin Sheen is? Yeah. Martin Sheen, he is a very devout Catholic. And his son, Charlie Sheen, on 2 and a Half Men, remember that? Well, Charlie Sheen got fired from the show because he was into cocaine and alcohol and other drugs. And his son Charlie went bonkers crazy, said things like, you know, I have lion's blood in me and I'm a winner. Right after he gets fired, he says, I'm a winner. Totally off his rocker. And someone asked Martin Sheen, his father, about his son's despicable state and the drug abuse and the craziness of his son Charlie. And Martin looked at the reporter and calmly replied these words, I'll have to love him more. Isn't that powerful? I'll have to love him more. The first humans with a soul is Adam and Eve. They screwed up really bad in the Garden of Eden. Satan was so jealous that God made humans. Psalm 8, verse 5 through 6 gives us the reason. You have made humans a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. Satan felt that this honor should have gone and belonged to him. And so when God gave it to you and me as humans, Satan was not very happy. And he was extremely jealous. And he sought revenge against God by tempting Adam and Eve to turn against God. The very first sin was idolatry. Idolatry. We know this from Genesis. And it reads, the devil talking to Eve, you will not surely die, the serpent told her, For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. Idolatry. Very first sin. And Satan got humans to turn away from God. I, the creature, turn away from the Creator. I make myself a God. That was the original sin. But you see, God has not abandoned us. Jesus is the arms of God reaching out once again, reaching out to us humans with a never-stopping love, a reach that has no limit. The good news becomes visible in the flesh of Jesus, who came to our rescue. That's why Jesus is screaming out today in the gospel. He's saying, this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 1 verse 15. This is God's decisive moment to win us back. It's like Jesus is yelling to anyone who will listen. Pay attention. See, I'm coming to save you. That's what's going on today in that gospel. Jesus is declaring his intent, his reach, the reach of God to rein us back in for the Father. God, our daddy, doesn't want to lose us. And even when we sin, he just loves us more. So what should our response be? We know what God wants to do. What should we do? Two things. Repent and believe. Believe in that good news that God's reaching out in love to you. But see, here is where Christians, especially Catholics, we find a stumbling block. Repentance simply means to turn around back to God. Unfortunately, a lot of times in the church, repentance was associated with guilt. You had to feel really, really guilty. You had to live in that guilt. And then you could repent. But really, all repentance means is turning from sin and turning back to God. But too often, Christians and Catholics, we let our guilt get in the way of repentance. And the guilt feelings keep us from believing that God really forgives me. How often have I dealt with people who can't repent because their guilt is so great and they can't believe that God loves them enough to really forgive them? They'll say something like, why should I go to church? God probably doesn't want me anyways. And then they express to me their fear that the church walls are going to fall in on them. I've heard that for 42 years. How many times have I heard confessions where people over and over will repeat a sin that they're no longer doing, but it happened 30 years ago, and they still are having trouble believing that God has forgiven them. And they'll say, Father, I got to tell you this sin. And I said, well, why are you telling? God forgave this years ago, dear. But they can't believe it. And then a month later, I hear it again. You know, it's like not believing in that mercy. That must really make God angry. Because he gives us this great gift. And then we say, well, you know, I don't deserve it. I don't want it. And God's saying, take it. Believing in the good news requires that you not only accept, but believe in God's mercy. But this is the king. This is the best. This is the most important thing I want you to hear. Yes, believe in God's mercy. But in order to do that, you have to forgive yourself. That's hard. Forgive yourself. If God can forgive you, then you must forgive yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't have the sword of Damocles going over your head like God has a smite button. And if you do one little thing wrong, he hits that smite button and a piano falls on your head. Like at the last scene of Two and a Half Men. God has no smite button on his computer. There's a true story. I'll tell you now to show what I mean. True story. Joyce Brown, she wrote this wonderful book that I so love. It's only a couple hundred pages. It's called Heavenly Answers to Earthly Questions. And in this book, Joyce Brown wrote about her life after death experience. She died and came back. And she carried guilt and shame for many years because she treated her mom so badly as a teenager. She was mean to her mom and abusive. And she never got a chance to tell her mom that down deep, she really did love her. She never got that chance to ask for forgiveness because mom died suddenly of a heart attack. And Joyce herself also died suddenly of a heart attack, but she was revived. And she wrote about a life review that she had in heaven that healed her. It healed her shame and removed her guilt. In her life review, and we're all going to have a life review. When you die, you're going to sit up there in a chair, and there's going to be a screen and like a movie camera, and it's going to be, this is your life. And you are going to see the good things you have done, and you're going to see the bad things you have done, so that the angels can teach you where you went wrong and how you did right. Well, she's sitting there in her life review, and she expected to see the times when she hurt her mom, the times of disrespect and ugly behavior. To her surprise, in her life review, there was nothing about the pain she caused her mommy. Nothing. And she asked the angel why there was no record of her meanness to her mom. And the angel replied, it was wiped out. Joyce asked, why? And the angel replied, because at those times, your mom forgave you. Wow. Isn't that neat? That's why forgiveness is so important. When I forgive someone who's hurt me, it gets wiped out in their life review. When you forgive me, it gets wiped out in my life review. That's why Jesus kept saying, forgive one another, or your own sins won't be forgiven you. And so, Tom, I'm sorry for all the times I was mean to you and nasty. And will you forgive me? And I asked that question of someone else, and he said, how much is it worth to you? I said, how about 50? And there we go, $50. But really, this is the power of forgiveness. It makes you clean. It makes the one you forgive clean. God says this, to back up what I'm saying, in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. No more. That's very comforting. So if God doesn't remember your sins, why should you? Amen. I heard on the radio coming down today, on WLRU, this country western song. But there was one line that jumped out of me. It says, wait, if I can remember it now. Sin has a past. The sinner has a future. Did you get that? You know what that means? Our sins forgiven are in the past. They're gone. But we sinners have a future, and that's called mercy. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at saintmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.